Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 373, Much Fruit. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, June 2nd, 2024, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Okay, praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. How are we today? Good, good to see you. See your smiling faces. Praise the Lord. It's nice to have you back, Pastor, today. You guys are smiling back at me. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to have pastors back in the house? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Welcome back. We missed you. Praise God. Well, we are going to start a new series. Who follows us on Facebook? Did anybody see the video, the little promo video we did last night, or that we posted last night? Thank you to our social media team. Praise the Lord, they're working hard. So that video, if you didn't see it, I'll tell you, we're going to start a new series called Roots and Fruits in the month of June. And so I got this little box here. I thought it was the cutest. It has fruit on it. It has bees. I was thinking about trying to go dig up some roots and put it in the box, but I, like Aaliyah, don't enjoy weeding a whole lot and doing that kind of stuff. So, what's happening? Holy Spirit. Okay. Praise the Lord. A hand for our team back in the back. They are working hard despite technical difficulties all the time, every Sunday, to get the sound and the things up on the screen. So anyways, Roots and Fruits is a series about growing. It's a series about doing what we're called to do, which is make disciples, be disciples first, and make disciples. And we're going to jump into that today. But all about the fruit that God wants us to produce in our lives. And what do we need? What's required? Roots, right? Good roots. Roots that are not based in fear, like Sister Aaliyah talked about, but roots that are based in Jesus Christ, right? We want to build our lives on the solid foundation of who Jesus is. We want roots in the Word. We want roots in church, like together, community, because that's what God intended for us. And today, this is sort of the intro message to whet your appetite for what is to come. I entitled the message, Much Fruit. So how do we know what the end goal is? Like, what are we going for? It's important for us to know what is considered the win, right? If you are a sports fan, like, what is the championship? What's the end goal? How do we know, as far as us in our lives of being Christians, following Jesus, how do we know when we're hitting the mark, when we're winning and, like, you know, touchdown, right? When we're making that championship level status, how do we know? Well, the Word tells us. We need to know, because if we don't, then we become uninterested, right, about what it really means to follow Jesus. We're not just here to socialize and sing a few songs and, you know, hear somebody talk and then go home. There's more to it than that, and we need to know what that means. We need to be interested. We need to be on the path. We need to be engaged in that. The other thing that happens is that if we don't really know what it means to win at the Christian life and do what God wants us to do, what he said in his Word, then we kind of make up our own definition of what it looks like to be a good Christian. And probably we're going to stray away from what this says then, and we're going to be going off the path. So for sure, we're not going to hit the target that God has intended for us if we don't even know what the target is, right? And so this beginning intro message and the series is to help align us to those, some of those definitions and what God considers like good and well done, faithful servant. We all want to hear that at the end, but we got to know step by step that he's saying, yeah, good job, you're on the right track. Yeah, good job, keep going, right? And so we got to know what that win is. So let's dig into the Word today. Are you ready?
Yes.
Ready? Praise God. Okay, they're ready. They're ready, God. Okay. So, you know, God tells us some important instructions, right? In Matthew 28. How many times do we talk about this in church? But this is huge. We've got to really get this. Matthew 28, right? It's the Great Commission. And this is Jesus' last conversation with the disciples. You know, when any of you that are parents would leave your children with a babysitter, and the last instructions that you give to your children, or let's say they're old enough and you leave them home by themselves for a little while you run out and do something or have a meeting or whatever, and the last thing that you say to your children or the last thing that you say to the babysitter is generally like the most important, right? It's the thing that you want them to remember. It's the last thing that's going to stick with them. So Jesus' last instruction for the disciples was this, what we read in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. It says, "Therefore, sit and make disciples of all the nations." No, are we awake? Does anyone need coffee? Okay, therefore, go. Everybody say, go.
Go.
And make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands, all of them, that I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Okay, so let's break this down, right? Jesus says, go from here. Like, he's telling the disciples, leave here in this, from where you are, go somewhere else. It implies action, right? It implies movement, mobility, advancing, leaving and going somewhere else. And look for other people, right? Find other people and make them disciples. Like everything that I have taught you guys in the 3 years that I walked with you and ate with you and shared with you and talked with you, like share that and give that out to others, right? Pretty simple instructions. I think they could get it, right? I think they were getting it. And then he says, and don't forget this, like really remember this one, that I will be with you always. I won't leave you. I won't abandon you. You're not on your own in this. And then, of course, comes the instructions then later for them to wait in the upper room, right? And that they're going to receive the helper. They're going to receive the Holy Spirit, the advocate who's going to be with them. We must remember this today, that we are not alone in this task of making disciples. Because when you read that, it might just kind of sound like a cliche because we say it a lot. Therefore, go and make disciples. Or you might be kind of overwhelmed by that. Of like, how in the world am I supposed to do this? How am I supposed to make disciples? Like, what does that really look like? Well, first, we must really know and get that in our hearts that we are not alone in this task, that he is with us, that he promised to help us. The advocate, the Holy Spirit, the teacher, the guide, he is for us, and he is our biggest cheerleader on the sidelines, if we're going to stick with the sports analogy. He's our biggest cheerleader saying, yes, go, do it. You're going to make the goal. You're going to have the win and make it to the championship and please the heart of the Father, right? Praise the Lord. Okay, so then in this, Jesus told them to be a disciple. Let's talk about, here at my Father's house, we've adopted a definition that has three parts for a disciple. So anybody that comes to our disciple-making 101 class, you know, should hopefully be able to raise their hand and tell me, right? You guys are like, what is it? What is it? Right. The three parts of a disciple means that it is somebody, a disciple is somebody who is following Jesus, right? They're not following the world. They're not following the zodiac. They're not following all the other things that you could follow. They are following Jesus, right? It's not just having a title of being a Christian, but it's following after Jesus and what he says to do and how he instructed us to live and how he lived and moved and had, you know, walked and treated people on the earth. So a disciple is somebody who is following Jesus. The next part of the definition is somebody who is being transformed by Jesus. That's a continual process. None of us have arrived to look absolutely 100% like Jesus, right? Am I wrong? I'm correct, right? Okay, like none of us has arrived exactly to be, you know, following Jesus 100%. We don't have that in perfection, but we are constantly, as we're following him, he transforms our life. He transforms us by his word, by the power of his love, right? We are transformed by him, and it's a continual, ongoing process. So the next part, we've got following, a disciple is somebody who is following Jesus, somebody who is being transformed by Jesus, and somebody who is on mission with Jesus. Are any of you on mission with Jesus? I hope so. Being on mission with Jesus means what did Jesus, like what we're talking about today, what did Jesus ask for us to do? What does he desire for us to do? And let's link arms with Jesus. Let's really follow him and let's go after souls, right? Let's make other disciples. Let's share what we've learned with other people. Amen? Amen. All right. So you got the definition? Yes, you got it down? All right. If we gave you a quiz, you'd pass that part at least, the definition? Okay. Praise God. So Jesus was telling them to be a disciple, right? Somebody who's following Jesus, being transformed by Jesus, and on mission with Jesus. And then he told them that also to go and make disciples. So to be a disciple and to make disciples. So we know, therefore, that the championship win of the Christian life is just those things. It's just that. It is to be a disciple and it's to make disciples. And just a word about this. When you are a disciple, when you are following along the path of Jesus, it's all about being. It's all about being with Jesus, right? It's about knowing who we are in Christ, knowing what Jesus did for us that transforms our life. But before we can go and be on mission, we've got to really have, what I'm trying to say is the being a disciple, being in Christ, that drives the going and the doing and the making disciples, right? And so the doing and being on mission, that's important, but that comes out of a revelation of understanding who God is and who I am and saying that I've already said, yes, I want to follow you, Jesus. Yes, I want you to transform my life. And yes, I want to be on mission with you, right? Because sometimes we get it a little backwards and we're just doing and going and blah, 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 and doing, and we're doing a lot that Jesus didn't ask us. And we need to be rooted and grounded in who we are. And so that being with Jesus drives and motivates the making disciples, the going and the doing. Does that make sense? You tracking? Okay. Praise the Lord. So we're not talking about a church event or the organization of the church itself, but we're talking about you personally following Jesus. And it's a commitment and a choice that we each have, right? And if you listening there on social media, if you have not ever asked Jesus to come into your life, or anybody, I never want to assume, right? Anybody in this room has never asked Jesus into their heart and said, yes, I want to be on mission with you. I want you to change and transform my life. Then you can do that. And you can do that with a simple prayer and just inviting him into your heart and your life and repenting of your sins. And he washes you clean. And it's awesome. Praise the Lord. Being in Christ, being a follower of Jesus is exciting, isn't it? Would you agree? It's exciting. It's never dull. It's never dead. It's never boring. It's always good when you're really listening to him. You're listening to his voice. You're following after Jesus. Amen? Okay. So what's the mission then? Wait, Pastor Sarah, what's the mission? The mission is to find people, like he was telling, Jesus told his disciples, find people and make them into disciples. Share with them, give them the opportunity, right? And that is the process of the Holy Spirit in our lives that helps us. Because, I mean, I could just find somebody and say, okay, now you're a disciple, and like try to put my cookie cutter idea of how I was made into a disciple or how I am being made into a disciple. But who knows that making disciples is not a cookie cutter thing, because God has created us each differently. So it's really the work of the Holy Spirit. We get the privilege of partnering with the Holy Spirit in the work that he wants to do in other people's lives. And you get a front row seat as a disciple maker to see what Holy Spirit, what God is doing in the life of transforming another person, inviting them on mission. And it's really amazing. It's amazing. Amen. All right. So let's look at another key verse here that will tell us about the like championship win. So John 15, verse 8. John 15, if you want some homework this week, read John 15, study John 15, because that's, I believe that's going to be key, a key chapter for us in this whole series of roots and fruits. So John 15, verse 8 says, "When you produce much fruit, you are my disciples, my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father." So let me read it again. When you produce much fruit, he's not saying if you produce much fruit. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. Okay, here's the word fruit, right? Like the fruit on that you see on this box. Fruit is the result that comes out of your life. Fruit is a result or a consequence or what is yielded, what is produced out of something, right? Like in this case, we're talking about our lives. So the fruit, when he says, when you produce much fruit, like, wait, what? Pastor Sarah, we're talking about producing lemons and grapes and strawberries? No, fruit means we're talking about the metaphor of our lives, right? What is produced? What comes out of my life that others, that I can benefit from and that others can benefit from, right? It's that consequence, if you will, of how I'm living. So in the natural world, fruit is the result of a healthy plant, right? A healthy plant that has roots in good soil, that's watered, that all the things are right with it, the amount of sun, right? And so that is producing, that fruit plant produces what it's meant to produce. So, but in the Bible, we're going to talk about fruit is the result of your life producing what God intends for you to produce in your life, right? It's the expression of abundant life that Jesus died on the cross to pay for you and for me. Amen? That's what we want to come out of our lives. We want fruit. And Jesus wants that too, because he doesn't say if it happens. He says when. When you produce much fruit, not just a little bit of fruit, much fruit. So he says then, when your life produces good and much fruit, a lot of it, a quantity of it, that's how people or you will know that they are my disciples. That is the sign when somebody is producing fruit in their lives, good things that reflect, that sort of smell like Jesus, not the world, not Satan, not our own flesh. When things that are coming out of my life reflect Jesus and what I find in here, then that's how you know that I'm a true disciple or any person that we're, you know, talking about. And it says here, this brings great glory. I don't know about you, but I desire to bring great glory to the heart of the Father. We have a choice with our lives, what we can do with our lives. I want with my decisions, with my actions, with my facial expression, my attitude, all of it, I want to bring great glory to my Father because he deserves that, right? He gave his son to give his life for me so that I could live abundantly. So in order to do that, we have to produce much fruit. And that's according to this verse, it says, then we will produce or we will bring great glory to the heart of the Father. That's a key verse for answering that beginning question that we started with about what is the championship win? Right there, it says, when you produce much fruit, you are my true, genuine, sincere disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. So if any of you are wondering, or those watching on social media or listening on podcast, you know, sometimes we struggle with this question of like, what is my purpose? What is my calling? What am I supposed to be doing? There it is, right there. John 15:8. When it's to produce fruit. It's to be following Jesus so that you can be on mission with him. Well, first back up, you can be transformed by him, and good things that reflect the person and character of Jesus Christ, of the Lord Almighty, come out of your life. That's his calling for us. That's what he wants us, each of us, to do. It's going to look different for each of us because he's created us unique and he has different anointings, different callings on our lives. But all of us should be producing fruit in our lives that looks like Jesus in some way, shape, or form. When we focus on doing what he wants us to do, which is being a disciple and making a disciple, and several disciples, you know, throughout our lifetime. When we focus on that, when we do that, then our life produces a lot of fruit, and we glorify the Father. That's the goal. We want to glorify God. We want to glorify Christ Jesus. So there's three types of fruit. Let's talk about those types of fruit. A lot of, probably when I've been mentioning fruit, talking about fruit, you probably have thought about the scripture in Galatians 5, right? That is inner fruit, that it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, right? That when your life is, when you are abiding in and dwelling with the Holy Spirit, when a person says, yes, I want to get on the path to following Jesus, that he begins to transform your life. Now, let me just say, when you are born again and you say yes to Jesus, you receive in seed form all of those fruits of the Spirit. And you receive the Holy Spirit, right? But you receive love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Did I get them all? Faithfulness. Did I say that? Goodness. You receive those. But do we automatically, when you say yes to Jesus, you're walking in those, all of those giftings fully and perfectly? Probably not, right? We have to choose it so that, and activate those in our lives. And as we read the word, as we spend time with him, God, the Holy Spirit, develops that inner fruit in our lives. So that's the first kind of fruit, inner fruit. You can read about that in Galatians 5 toward the end, verse 22. So we're not going to necessarily focus on that today, but that's one kind of fruit, that a person's outward actions result from the condition of their heart, right? And so what you do is going to be driven by the amount of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, all of that, self-control. Then that's going to produce an outward result, which is the next kind of fruit, which is outer fruit or good works. So Matthew 5, verse 16 says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Okay? So we know that, you know, we talk a lot about, it's not about works. So how is that, Pastor Sarah? Because you're saying here, this is good works or outer fruit. I thought it wasn't about, you know, I hear people say that it's not about works. When we say it's not about works, let me just break it down and explain that that means it's not about, people are talking about the way to heaven, the way into salvation. It's not, you can't earn, you can't do more good works or show all this great fruit in order for God to love you anymore or so that you get in heaven. We're talking about somebody that's already said, yes, I'm following Jesus. I'm on the path to Jesus. And then when the Holy Spirit begins to work in your life, the inner fruit is coming out, and then that's going to produce this outer fruit. Is that clear? Yeah, you're following? Outer fruit is going to be coming out of your life so that, like it says in Matthew 5:16, your light can be shining before men, before people, in a way that they see your good works, see what you're doing, see what's coming out of your life, and go, oh, that's different. That's different. That's different than the world. It's going to attract them, right? And if they're believers, they'll be attracted to that, and they'll be able to know that's God. That smells like God. Like, you know, when you're out in a mall or you're somewhere and you just scan the crowd, and maybe, you know, this has happened to us several times when we go out to pray for people and share with people, that we actually end up going and talking to believers because it's like we're drawn to them. Like, we just see the light that they carry, right? They carry something from the Holy Spirit. It's fruit coming out of their lives, even if we don't know them. Praise the Lord. So we have the inner fruit, we have the outer fruit, and then we have people fruit. People fruit? What's people fruit? People fruit is when you are on mission with Jesus. He's been transforming your life, and you are on mission with Jesus, and you are winning souls for Jesus. You are investing into people. You are making disciples. You're doing what Jesus told his disciples to do, which is to go and make other disciples, to teach them, to pour into what you have received from the Word of God, from the Spirit of the living God, and give that to others. That's people fruit, right? God wants to collect us to collect a whole fruit basket of people fruit that when we get to heaven, we get to, maybe we'll get to meet and have a party with all the people that are there in heaven and made it in because of some little seed that I planted, or maybe I invested many years in their life so that they could be stabilized and following Jesus and still on the path and be fruit and fruit that remains, right? Praise the Lord. So inner fruit, outer fruit, people fruit. And the verse that that was brought to mind when I was thinking about this, people fruit, is Proverbs 11, verse 30. It says, the fruit of the righteous, that's us, we've been made the righteousness of Christ. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. He who wins souls, who gets this people fruit going in their lives to share the gospel with other people, to go out from their comfort zone and share with others so that they can make a decision to get on the path and begin to follow Jesus. Amen? Amen. All right, so how do we really know if we're hitting the mark? Like, if we're doing this at all, or if we're doing it correctly, how can I, like, get real about producing fruit in my life? Because I want to produce fruit. I want to make fruit in my life, right? Because out of fruit, you can make some nice juice, right? You ever go to, got to come to Cuba with us sometimes. They make fresh squeezed juice, and it's awesome. It's so good. And like Colombia and some of the other South American countries, out of fruit of our lives comes juice, and it is juicy. It is good. All right, let's get real. Let's have some real talk. Is that all right? Can we just be honest and, like, take the masks off for a moment? Well, you can leave them off forever. That would be good. So there's a difference between somebody who is a fan of Jesus and somebody who's really following Jesus. Yeah, I said it. I did. Fans come to church. Fans might go to some programs. They might do some things, but they don't really engage. And they're just, you know, kind of checking the boxes off. They're just coming to church to come to church, or, I know, I'm meddling a little bit. Might have a really nice bumper sticker, a really nice coffee mug that says, I'm the light of the, you know, Jesus is the light of the world, or something, but their life doesn't match up with the bumper sticker or the cross necklace or what they say, or even the fact that they do certain things that look like a Christian, but they're missing the mark. They're falling short of getting this, hitting the target and getting this championship win that Jesus, that God intended and what he says in his word. So that would be like what we call being a fan of Jesus versus a follower. Followers are different. Followers, they match what they say with what they do. And they live with Jesus really as the way, the truth, the life. Right? So fans like fruit. They like it. Yeah, I like fruit. I like good things. I like doing good, you know, good works. Followers are the ones that really bear the fruit. They really produce fruit. They're like serious about it. They're intentional about it. So there's a difference between the fans and the followers. Is this making sense? Is this all right? Am I getting anyone under anyone's skin a little bit? Hopefully, yeah. So for change, hopefully for change in our lives, right? If we only have a nice, neat, nicey-nicey message all the time, but it never causes us to change, then what are we doing, right? Right? Fans versus followers. So, like, fans read books about, you ever hear this story about, like, parents that say to their children, go clean your room, right? Go clean your room. And the kids come back, and the parents are like, did you clean your room? They're like, no. But the child says, but I read a book about cleaning my room. And I can give you a dissertation, a whole speech about cleaning my room. Yeah, but did you clean the room? Well, no. Well, you're missing the mark, right? That's the difference between a fan and a follower. The fans just, we read books about making disciples. We talk about making disciples, but followers are the ones that are really making disciples. Like, they're really doing it. You can see fruit. You can see something is different coming out of their lives. You can see people fruit. You can see inner fruit. You can see outer fruit. All those kinds of fruit. Let's be the followers that actually get busy and clean the room. We actually do what he told us to do. Okay, here's another, let's see, Holy Spirit, where should we go? Let's look at Matthew 7 quickly here. Matthew 7 tells us about how we can know, like, how do we really know? What are we looking for? Matthew 7, 15 to 20, it says, beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit. That is, by the way they act. Okay, listen, right? Pay attention. You can identify their fruit by the way they act, by the fruit that's coming out. I'll keep reading verse 16. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Okay, so hopefully this is going to help someone. This is going to help us here. You will be able to decipher if a person is a false prophet, that would be bad fruit, or a true follower of Jesus, good fruit. What's coming out of their lives? By the way that they act, the way that they carry themselves. What fruit, and let's start with ourselves, you know, it's maybe we could say, well, let's judge everybody else. Let's start with ourselves. What fruit is your life producing? I hope that I'm not, you know, operating out of a bad roots that would produce bad fruit and make me a false prophet, right? What fruit is your life producing? Because you can identify people by their actions, by what's coming out, what's being produced. It says here that a thorn bush, right, a thorn bush or like a false prophet, it won't produce grapes. It just won't. If it's a thorn bush, it's not going to produce fruit. It's a bad, let's call it a bad tree, bad fruit. It's going to produce what it's supposed to produce, thistles or thorns, right? And the same with thistles, it doesn't produce figs. Thistles and thorn bushes will never produce fruit because of their nature, because of what they are, right? So we need to be a fruit inspector, starting with ourselves, looking at ourselves. What fruit is coming out of my life? What is the fruit? What is it like? Is it really ripe and good and juicy? Can other people come and take a bite out of it and feed off of what's coming out of my life? Or is it kind of like shrivelly and, you know, the bitter? Yeah, the strawberries get kind of wilty and they get like wrinkly and, you know, yeah, it's fruit, but it could be better. And so through this series, here's a little plug to come back and stay tuned with us for the rest of the other messages. Like, we're going to talk about what kind of roots do we need to produce fruit? And when we're producing fruit, how do we produce more fruit in our lives? Because he wants a whole bunch for us. Inner fruit, outer fruit, people fruit. So, reminder, if you're in Christ and you're abiding in the vine, when you do your homework and read John 15, you'll find out about abiding in the vine, right? You will produce fruit. You don't have to strive to do it. If you're following Jesus and you're reading his word and you're listening to the Holy Spirit, your life is going to produce fruit. You're what we just read would be considered a good tree. And a good tree is going to produce good fruit. So we can study and know what the word says about how we produce more fruit in our lives. And that, like I said, it is to come. But let's just cling to the vine. Let's cling to the vine that is Jesus, because he is amazing. All right. And he will help us to bring fruit out of our lives. Let's look at one other verse, and then we're going to end it here in a moment. John 15, verse 16, he says, "You didn't choose me, but I've chosen and commissioned you to go into the world to bear fruit, and your fruit will last, because whatever you ask of my Father for my sake, he will give it to you." All right, he says, "I've chosen you." Remember a few months back, maybe we did, I talked one Sunday about who we are in Christ, and I had a different little box, a red box, remember? And we studied and went through Ephesians 1 about who we are in Christ. And one of those who we are in Christ from Ephesians 1 is that you are chosen. So here's this word chosen again. We've been given an identity by the Father. When he calls you out and says, "I choose you, I choose you, out of love, I choose you," that means you're not an orphan. That means you're not out there. You belong. You belong to God because he's chosen you. He's selected you to be the object of his love and his affection. Rejection is gone because he's chosen you to be on the winning team and to be on the team that produces fruit. So really knowing that, having revelation that he's chosen you, that's going to produce something in your life. It's going to equip you for the appointment, right? For what you're appointed for. Because he says, "I've chosen and I've commissioned you." Like, I've appointed you. I have a task for you, for each one. For what? What is it? What is that task? Well, it says the next part. It says to go into the world and to bear fruit. Oh, okay. So go into the world and bear fruit, to yield something. Another definition of the word bear means to carry, right? We're going to carry fruit. Imagine like a lemon tree. If I'm bearing fruit and I'm a lemon tree, you're going to see lemons all over. I'm carrying it, and somebody else could come and receive a lemon off of me. Not that you'd bite into a lemon like you would an apple or a peach, but you know, you can eat from the fruit that somebody is carrying, bearing, yielding in their lives. I want to be the kind of fruit tree that somebody else can take a bite off of and receive something and get inspired to produce fruit in their lives by the power of the Holy Spirit and what they receive from what I carry from the Holy Spirit. It's all about him. right? It's all about I'm abiding in the vine, and so I'm going to produce fruit, and I'm going to be able to share that with others. So he says, I've chosen you, and I've commissioned you. I have an assignment for you to go and bear fruit. We've got to take action with what we've been given, and it's by faith. It's by faith that we do that. So for lack of being, or for risk of being redundant, I just want to say that he has chosen you, based on this verse, he has chosen you that you would bring forth fruit, whatever kind of fruit, inner fruit, the fruits of the spirit, outer works, or outer fruit, those good works, and people fruit. And he says that your fruit would remain, that it would last, in that verse that we just read, right? John 15:16. Fruit, and fruit that remains. Things that aren't going to be burned up, right? Things that are going to remain eternally. Eternally. Praise the Lord. And then it says, the last part, because whatever you ask of my Father for my sake, he will give it to you. He's linking here. There's a connection between prayer and the fruit that comes out of our lives, right? When Jesus left his disciples, their experiencing of asking and receiving, it wouldn't end. It would change, right? With Jesus leaving and the Holy Spirit coming. But Jesus was preparing his disciples for this. And so when you ask, know that you will receive, right? And that's kind of the connection that's happening here at the end of that verse. So let's land the plane. Praise the Lord. Our goal here at MFH, part of our vision statement, part of our mission is to not be Jesus fans, not just people that come and we're excited and, you know, we love Jesus and we come to church, but, and just maybe to just, we want to have our numbers here increase of the people that are coming to cell groups. Don't get me wrong. When we're producing fruit and fruit that remains, our numbers will increase. But we're not just going after the increase in numbers. We're going after fruit and fruit that remains. We're going after disciples that are wanting to be people that are wanting to follow Jesus and be transformed by Jesus and be on mission with Jesus. And when we go after that with all of our hearts, knowing that he hasn't left us, he hasn't forsaken us, he will be with us to the end of the age in that project, in that task, then we can know that we're doing what he wanted us to do, right? We can know that our numbers will grow when we do that, when we're about our Father's business, because there are so many lost and hurting people that want roots. They want to know how to get roots in Jesus, get roots in the Word, and really be able to grow, get roots in church, that they don't have an experience of being a part of a family or a part of somewhere, a community where they can be loved. Amen? So our goal is to be followers, true followers of Jesus, and be after the Father's business, to really go and make disciples, to be disciples first. And we got the being down, and out of the being comes the doing, comes the making disciples. We don't want to be just a church that talks about making disciples, or we preach sermons about making disciples. We really want to be making disciples. And we invite you to join us. To join us. And in this month, we're going to just go deep in this. Get it? Deep roots. We're going to put roots in what the Word says about this topic, because we want to produce fruit and we want to bring much glory to his name. Praise the Lord. We invite you to get on the path, if you're not already, of following Jesus, to join this journey of being transformed by Jesus. It's the best ever. And to get on the path and stay on the path and learn what it means to be a disciple, really, and to make a disciple, and join us. We invite you, join us. Be a part of what we're doing, to be on mission with Jesus. Because like we said, it's never dull. It's never boring. We can do it together. He promised that he would be with us. He will help us in the task. He equips us as we go, right? and we know the end goal. So there's no excuse for us to not miss the mark. Or there's no excuse for us. I said that backwards. There's no excuse for us. Yeah, I said that right. Right? To not miss the mark. Or my mind is blessed. Hallelujah. Yes, let's not miss the mark. Help me, somebody. Praise God. Yes, we have Jesus and we have each other to help. And we have the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And all of our minds are blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that you tell us what the end goal is. Father, that you just don't want us talking about making disciples or just reading books or preaching sermons about it, but you have equipped us. You've placed inside of us what we need to really do what pleases your heart, to do what will bring you great glory, and that's to produce fruit in our lives, inner fruit, outer fruit, people fruit. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for each person in this room here that has chosen to be on the path with you. Thank you, Lord, that they've chosen, they said yes to following you. And Father, that you are going to equip us even more, teach us even more what your word says about how we can produce more fruit in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for letting this go deep, because this is so dear to your heart. This is why you sent us out, why you sent your disciples out, and why we're here today. Thank you, Lord, that we get a revelation of producing fruit in our lives, of the importance to your heart of making disciples. And I bless each one under the sound of my voice, and I thank you for your power in our lives that helps us. Get everything out of the way, any obstacle that it would be removed out of the way, so that we can produce fruit and we can be successful at what you have for us to do. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name. You are good. You are good always. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.